Welcome to Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news, trends, and hottest topics that focus on advances in cybersecurity and cyber industry economics. Our expert yet down-to-earth hosts make cybersecurity straightforward. They ask the tough questions and make this challenging topic something that everyone can understand. Our candid approach lets guests open up on topics we would all like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at newcyberfrontier.com. That's www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join today's host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Check, check. Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. On today, I think it's an exciting show that I'm excited about for certain. We have Scott Carlson, who is the Director of Innovation and Head of Blockchain at Kedelsky Security. So, Scott, welcome today. It's exciting. A lot of the things we're going to talk about that you're doing there, that the ecosystem in cybersecurity, I think it's a game changer for the world. But welcome today. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me. It's going to be really fun to talk about what we have going on and how we can all work together to make this better.
Definitely. And a lot going on. We're in Colorado. He's in Arizona. We're going to talk about efforts in both that are really featured, sponsored by the state, and then directions in ecosystem for cybersecurity, which you hear so much about nowadays, but how nobody can solve all the problems. So we all have to work together. And that's really what it's about. And this is really going to be the state of the art of the possible here today, because exciting stuff. But Scott, give us a little bit about your background. You weren't born Director of Innovation. How did you get to this point?
What do you mean I wasn't born this? I mean, come on.
Oh, all right. Well,
so me personally, I've happened to be really lucky in my career, and I've spent most of it in Fortune 500 U.S. companies, large stint at Charles Schwab, director of security, architecture, availability, helped fix stock trading at, you know, the first company to go online with human stock trading there. I ran global security architecture at PayPal. Helped do many of the in-country compliance, data center builds, the cloud builds there, with a couple of other places in between. I cut my blockchain chops at a local company called Sweetbridge that was building the dual token economy. And so what I've tried to do is learn from all these places, which conveniently had massive scale, massive availability requirements, and also tried to change the world, and now adapt that to what I'm doing here at Kedelsky.
Interesting. So massive scale, massive transactions, numbers. How did that work out for what you've been doing so far?
You know, what's really fun about traditional tech in the internet where we are right now is companies, Google, Apple, PayPal, Schwab, have gotten really good at doing things at global scale really fast. Blockchain is not good at that yet. And so all these things that we've learned traditionally, we can now apply the HPC logic, the global scale logic, the global user management logic, to this world of blockchain, because we don't want to create the sins of the past. We've been doing this for 20 years or 50 if you count mainframe. It's been doing multi-processing across LPARs, you know, across regions, SNA, synchronous transactions since the 60s, right? This is not new things, but what we need to do is we need to learn from all of that and apply it to where we are today at internet scale. Mm-hmm. And I think getting involved in companies and learning, especially in my background, where we've solved some of those problems and now apply the logic and the computer science in a new way, maybe with privacy, maybe with global scale, maybe for everybody, including citizens, is a unique challenge, but it applies all the stuff we've learned.
Okay. So if we're looking at what's, you know, where you got your, you said you cut your chops in blockchain. What do you see, you know, as the now? Where's it at now, and where's it sitting from your view?
So blockchain is, you know, really cool math. It is really what it is. And what's really unique about it, and I really do believe in all the stories of people telling, that this is one of the first times in society where we are able to combine instant right now everything. If I know the information is good, and I know it has been settled, or it has reached consensus, or has been distributed everywhere, then I can make almost every decision in real time. and the coolness factor around all the new things that that enables is pretty magical, I would almost say. Like, your car can decide things, payment can go anywhere, you can buy and sell pieces or all of anything, you can digitize any particular object and move it around. Like, just the idea that we can enable all these new business models because we can do this in tech is really a unique time in history, because we haven't been able to do that before. It's all need to settle. And I don't really want to talk about money and things like that, because that gets into legal areas that are interesting, but I'm about the tech and the security. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about things where it takes 3 days to settle a bank and I can do that instantly, or a week to do a history check on a house before I can buy it, or even 5 minutes for me to send you money, like, I don't like that personally. I'm used to right now everything, and I think blockchain and the tech can enable a right now everything.
All right, well, let's take a break, hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back after a minute. We'll talk more with Scott.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier, talking with Scott Carlson, Director of Innovation and Head of Blockchain at Kedelsky Security. So, Scott, before the break, we were talking about where you saw blockchain being at right now. And kind of segueing from that into, there's a lot going on in quite a few civic arenas, like the state of Colorado, the state of Arizona. Talk about what you're seeing going on there and in the state of Arizona that you were involved with and think is leading the way here.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of years ago, I think 2017, Arizona was one of the first states to pass this concept of a financial sandbox, right? Most of us got exposure to blockchain because of the cryptocurrency angle. Dash here in Arizona, Bitcoin, similar currencies that people have worked with. One thing that is generally true about those currencies is they're arguably illegal to use as currency. And Arizona and a number of other states now have made it legal to use them as property or currency to transact, at least at a small minimal scale, to allow us to invent, but to remove some of the risk to the environment of the states the country. So Arizona passed these laws in 2017, which made it legal to go play in a sandbox. And then in 2018, they started expanding that it's, you know, illegal to digitize, for instance, like a mortgage property. And so one thing that the industry and the states have been doing is putting together the legal foundation that allow us to invent. And the states that are ahead of that, Arizona, Colorado, Wyoming, in some regard, are building the rails where we now don't have to face punishment for trying to change how people do business. We all know that in supply chain and contract law and banking, there's a set of rails there on purpose that have traditionally kept people from, you know, committing fraud and allow us to have some safety net legally. And in this industry, blockchain, when we try to settle things in real time, we're still going to have supply chain problems at the rails. We're still going to have money problems if the rails aren't there. We're still going to have tech problems if we don't understand what's going to happen to us if something goes wrong. And we're so early in this that things will go wrong. So I think it's really important that these states have built the rails around it so that we can invent safely. And what's really interesting about both Colorado and Arizona is they're trying to do really good things for the citizens and trying to promote the states as a place for you to come do business and build your company around this new technology. I think if we can be an early mover, which we have, then companies will move here to Arizona, the society will get better, we'll start to do identity on the blockchain, social services will get better, all these things that are promised will happen first in the states that have adopted this technology.
Mm-hmm. And we have been working on a project with Arizona State since 2017, so I know how progressive Arizona is down there, and an operational blockchain use case that's done for energy systems. So there's lots of innovation happening in Arizona as well as Colorado, as we talk about here on the show all the time. We've had quite a few of the policymakers that have done it in Colorado here. We'll have to get some of those people down there from the government who have put this into action. We'd love to talk to them sometime. Right, yeah. If you could make those connections for us. But you now also look at cybersecurity, and Kedelsky is a cybersecurity company. So it is, you know, blockchain, I always say it's an underlying connecting technology. It was actually called trust chaining before the word blockchain came around, and now it just has a new fancy word that people associate with money. So, you know, we use it. But cybersecurity, the connection of cybersecurity, it's just another piece of cybersecurity. Tell us about how you see those connections and, you know, that blockchain being used in the bigger picture with cybersecurity.
Yeah. So when you think about the use of blockchain in a business solution, it generally becomes the database most of the time, but it also transacts maybe through a smart contract some piece of the business blockchain. And so those are really important parts of the system. They could be the middleware and the back end. But if you think about it in a company like such as PayPal, like you don't go attack the core of the data center. You don't go attack the database. You attack the people and all the stuff around it, because that's what gets messed up the easiest. If you take a look at things like the Verizon cybersecurity report, and there's lots of reports that talk about this, 92% or some weird number like that of successful attacks are phishing, password stealing, I stole the key, I broke into the website, I did a pen test and found a vulnerability that could have been patched. It's all these really simple things that are cybersecurity hygiene. And even if you look at the blockchain industry, in very few cases, you don't attack the wallet itself or the chain itself. You attack the logic, the key management, the website, you deface, you attach the logic of the API, you attack the human, right? All the stuff around it. And that's a cyber problem. That's not a blockchain problem. People are really good at building math and building programming around this mathematical consensus. It's hard to break them. So why not go for the easy point? And that's where cyber comes in. And so when you sort of build a story around this, and I think we'll talk about this a little bit later, is a blockchain is a good place to store this stuff, but you have to get it there. And that's about, you know, is your device secure? Are you sending it secure? Is the application surrounding it secure? Because you need all that to happen before you can get the data into the blockchain, or you can't trust the integrity of the data. Mm-hmm. And what's the point of putting bad data in a permanent place that you have to either roll forward or can't delete? Like, you've destroyed the whole point of this.
So, and you've mentioned application security, you know, like user accounts, user credentials, so authentication type of things, connections between systems, networks of whole bunches of computers. Now, is that traditional security, all those pieces we just talked about, benefit the blockchain, or does the blockchain benefit them, or, you know, how does that all fit together?
So let's see if I'll tell maybe a story best described. So, you know, in a banking system, there's a ton of security around making this transaction happen, right? The person is multi-authenticated, the business systems make sure all the fraud logic is there, but then it writes the money into a database. In a traditional organization, the Bank of America, Wells Fargo, like there's hundreds of people, developers, DBAs, that may have access to that database to go and change your balance. That shouldn't happen. Like, that shouldn't be possible. And hopefully some, you know, settlement logic allows them not to go change your balance. But in a blockchain, like, you can't change it. And so, you know, we solve cyber problems in the banking use case through controls and hoops and compensating things and batch jobs and, you know, all this set of processing, which takes an awful long time and creates a lot of layers. In the blockchain world, we solve it through math. We put it there, it's good, and mathematically you can't change it. You don't have to have all these weird compensating controls on the data themselves. And so I think when we talk about cyber, we don't have to necessarily talk about cyber on the math. We still have to talk about cyber on the data. So in a traditional data center, cybersecurity includes protection of the systems, the database, and the ecosystem around it. In a blockchain, it applies the same, except we worry less about the math. We just make sure that the programming is good there. That's, you know, pentesting and stuff.
All right. Let's take a break here. Yeah, let's take a break here from our sponsors. We'll be right back to talk to Scott some more.
Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. On today, talking to Scott Carlson, the Director of Innovation and Head of Blockchain at Kedelsky Security, one of the largest security companies in the world, I understand, correct?
Well, it depends on how you cut it, but yes, we have the largest market share in both physical security at our division called Ski Data and digital content distribution at our parent distribution company, NAGRA. And so our cybersecurity division is just a few years old in the USA, but we're growing very fast.
Yeah. So I know that before the break, we were talking about, you know, pulling blockchain, traditional cybersecurity into together. And you mentioned ecosystem. And I'm kind of leading into that key word because I know that you've been working a lot and not, you know, you yourself, but your corporation and several partners into an ecosystem approach for cybersecurity because there's so many different needs and areas in cybersecurity that no one company can focus on at all. No one company can do it all. And I think the big conglomerates have realized this where they've tried to buy up a bunch of small companies and found out that, you know, their products don't work together, even their own offerings. And it actually is more of a black eye than trying to just focus on what you're good at. So ecosystem, tell us about what you've been doing and how all the pieces are coming together for many different companies to work under an umbrella of we all mutually benefit together.
Yeah, so it's best told by talking first about what Kedelsky is good at.
Okay.
So we've been in business around 60 years or so, and the foundation of this company is built around root of trust and encryption and protection of content, you know, our physical spaces in the case of Ski Data. And so at the core of our DNA, we're very good at protecting the device itself, the data transmission, and making sure that that content doesn't leak. For instance, your movie doesn't get pirated. So we own a lot of that ecosystem, and that's where our skill is. It conveniently happens that blockchain, digital ledgers, are based on math, which is one of our core skills. And so when you take a look at why we're in the blockchain space, first, it's because we're really good at math. We're good at auditing it, we're good at building it, you know, that core foundational thing. But when we look around the edges of these systems, the global user management, global scale, global distribution, no one company can do that all over the place, especially when we're talking about consensus and public or private or multi-party consortiums. And so we've elected to specialize in the part that we're good at, the math, the technology, the hardware. And we want to surround ourselves with people who are good at all the other pieces. And so I like to tell sort of a six-pronged story about where the world is today when we use something like a blockchain. So part number one is, you know, now in the world of IoT, often those devices are the source of data, right, that go into blockchain. So you need to make sure that that device is hack-proof. And so that's concepts like protect your IT device, put a root of trust in it, make sure you can't tamper with the thing that you put at the person's house or in the field. Once that thing gathers the data, it has to send it securely. So you have to encrypt that connection, make sure it's pinned the right way. These are, you know, encryption communication things that we've done for a lot of years. You need to make sure it's going to the right place. You need to identify that third party or that other device or that partner, right? Detect it good, send it safe, send it to somebody you know. But then you have to write it somewhere where it can't be messed with. That's where the blockchain comes in. You want to put it on this ledger so the data can't be tampered with. You know it's good getting there, and now it can't be changed once it gets there. But don't forget you have to use this data. So you want to monitor that nobody games it when humans use it or end systems do it. But also you have to do cybersecurity protection. Because when you deal with right now things, you can't go to the old traditional cyber world of, you know, in a week I'll get around to looking at the alert. Right? When this is a fully automated system of consensus, like you have to react at the speed of that. Mm-hmm. When something goes away or when something changes, you have to react by failing closed sometimes. You can't fail open like the systems in the past. And in order to pull off this chain, you need companies good at figuring out the business process, figuring out the data sources, figuring out the privacy, figuring out the monitoring. And you have to bring law in and companies willing to explore how to use this in supply chain or engine or energy or anything. And I know we're not big enough to do that. You know, we're, even people as big as IBM don't do this themselves. They bring in industry partners and lawyers and consortiums. Because one thing that's really true about blockchain and consensus is it requires a lot of people to participate for it to be useful. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense if one little company uses it, that's not going to change the world. And so everybody needs to use it, which is why we start to involve partners. And so when you think about, you know, doing things like a blockchain, you sort of start with what problem do I want to solve, right? So I need partners that help with the business transformation, the business discovery, the data finding. Then you have to say, how do I change my organization to adopt this? What new systems do I need? How do I sell this? What's the ROI? So these are process people. These are technology selectors. These are, you know, pre-sales architects. But then you need technology implementation. Which technology do I pick? You know, there's a bunch of level one blockchains now. There's a bunch of ways to do it in the cloud. There's a bunch of IoT gateways. How do I select it and build a best set of integrated components that solve my problems? And the world today is about fit for purpose that's integrated. We no longer build a full stack of cybersecurity things and just buy IBM or buy Cisco and then install every possible thing that they have because it just doesn't work anymore. No company can be really good at every piece at the same time. So we have to build a set of components that are integrated, that are really good and solve the vast majority of our problems. We'll never get to 100%, but if we bring everybody together, we can get pretty close to solving the critical problems together.
What do you see, you know, you kind of mentioned the critical problems. What are the most critical? Are they the areas you work in, or are they holes around it?
So the people are the number one critical problem. It's hard to solve human. So you have to compensate for humans making mistakes, right? Humans are fallible. And so if somebody is typing stuff in, they will make a typo. If that makes it to the blockchain, that could be a problem. So there's a bunch of human process that will compensate for that, for instance. It's almost always data that is the critical problem in a system like this. You know, if you're buying a house and the mortgage information is wrong, like you've created a legal problem. If your supply chain has bad information in it, transacting it doesn't make sense. You know, if your money system, if you don't know how much money people have, sending money around doesn't make any sense because information is bad. So the data is pretty much always the problem in this scenario, and making sure that that data is good is probably the number one problem. Because unless you start a system, and I don't mean a Genesis block, but unless you start a system with no data and can guarantee the data is good, which I don't even know how you do, you have to focus on the data first. And so looking at the controls around getting that data in, whether it be person's identity, a source of money, generating digital records, like that I think is a key focus for the partners, especially the ones that I work with. To understand the problem people are solving and figure out where the data is going to come from and make sure that data is good.
So when you say, and this is the people and the data are always the big problems, I guess I would ask, and this is something I see that, you know, the blockchain over time gets us to the point where we can say, when was the bad data put in and who did it? And the reason people are the problem is because they can't be held accountable for one action. But I think that's kind of the benefit, the value that blockchain brings is something that twofold. One, we're going to be embarrassed because people are going to find out we made the mistake. But two, we start to learn to be a little more careful about what we do. And over time, that problem is addressed with this technology is my take on blockchain. How would you add or detract from that?
So I agree that the theory is sound. In practice, there are some real world cases where that I think that it breaks down. I think Bitcoin may be a good example of this. If we look at money sending, if a human messes up and sends $100,000 to the wrong place, it's gone. There is no roll forward fix to that. So in situations where you simply can't roll it forward because of point-to-point transactions, a human messing up causes a problem. And so you need controls in the way, even if the human tries really hard. And actually, this is one of the things that I talked about before, which is this sort of pre-layer. If you look at some of the big blockchain attacks, especially in the cryptocurrency and maybe even the supply chain space, like they've hacked the website, so the money's gone to the wrong place. They've changed the address under the covers in the code so that it gets sent to the wrong place. So people, you know, take access to the key, they change where it goes, they change the code underneath, and they cause the business logic to fail. The smart contract does the wrong thing. And so, like, sometimes that's not repairable. And I hope the law of the world catches up. And especially in private things like we're doing in Colorado and Arizona, where, you know, we can use a legal mean to roll it forward, we will know exactly when it broke down and who broke it down. And so I think if we split that now that I just said that and say in the public contents, it could be really bad if a human messes up. In the private contents, you use that as an operational monitoring characteristic. Oh, look, Scott messed up the supply chain. He did it last Tuesday. Here's the process for us to roll that forward. Great, we caught it so it won't happen next time. Like, that's great. We can definitely use that for triggered monitoring and maybe even bring in some of the intelligence concepts to catching this sort of behavior change. Because one thing is true, when a human messes up, it's almost always a out of bounds condition. It's not normal behavior. And so you can detect that not normal behavior through some logic. Cyber people call it user behavior monitoring. But in the blockchain, if we start to incorporate some of that, the concept around the edges, maybe we can catch, whoa, that's out of bounds. We shouldn't let that happen. And have that be an exception rather than catch it once it's at the ledger already.
Interesting. So we're kind of running to the end of time we usually do. But I wanted to, with everything you're doing and engaging ecosystem and people, I wanted you to give the opportunity to say, hey, here's what Kedelsky does. Here's what our efforts are doing. Here's who I need to reach out to me. Engage with us in this manner at this site. But go ahead and kind of give that shout out for what it is that you're putting together.
Yeah, absolutely. So generally I say we focus in four areas. So area number one is if you've already built something, if you're trying to change the world, we'll come in and audit it for you. What are your threats? Pen test it. Is it vulnerable? And how can you fix it? Because we want it to be safe. Number two, if you have no idea where to start, come in and I can help you figure out, you know, which partner to work with, which type of technology to pick. Do you need to change the business process? So that's kind of the I don't know what to do now. If you're a government or, you know, if you're trying to change the world with this, I can help advise with cybersecurity practice. A lot of governments put financial frameworks around and legal frameworks, but they kind of skip this whole best practice cyber part. And so a lot of governments need to say, like, great, change the world, but use all good cybersecurity hygiene, and we can help bring that up. And the fourth one is when we combine unique scenarios. IoT plus blockchain plus cloud plus, you know, all these things that people are starting to plug together. All of these inventors around the world know their thing and they know how to want to change the world, but they are not experts in hardware and IoT and cloud. That's where we come in, because we have the expertise in all these glue components and will help you put the glue together, I think pretty uniquely, because we're really good at the glue and the foundational. I'll support everybody changing the world through the good cyber and foundational products. And that's what we want to be known for.
All right, so that glue in cybersecurity, if you need to know how things pull together, Kedelskisecurity.com, is that what you, what, how would be, yep, Kedelskisecurity.com. And thanks again for coming on, Scott. And we had Scott Carlson, the Director of Innovation and Head of Blockchain for Kedelsky Security. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to New Cyber Frontier. Remember to follow or like our post and circulate each new show to your networks. We keep you informed, bring you the latest news, explore new trends, and find the hottest topics. With New Cyber Frontier, you don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert. Just get plugged in. We encourage you to get involved. Tell us what topics interest you and join our mailing lists. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. That's newcyberfrontier.com. Check out our previous interviews and please let us know if there are any topics that you would like to hear discussed. See you next time on New Cyber Frontier.